nuclear time bombs.
Holy overeating. Holy roller coasters.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time for the Lion Sidekick Podcast.
Hey, 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 everyone. Welcome back for another episode of the YM Sidekick Podcast. I'm Tom Pounder, and this is where student and online ministers go to get some cool tips and tricks and ideas on how to do ministry more effectively in a very digital and online world. And today I'm really excited to bring back my friend Jay Cranda. Jay's been on the podcast before, and if you don't know who Jay is, he is a guru of online ministry. He is the online campus pastor at Saddleback Church in California, the Saddleback Church in California, and he does a lot of great stuff. And we're going to get into, actually in the very beginning of the interview, about what he's into, because he's into a lot of stuff. He's doing a podcast of his own, he's doing the campus pastor stuff, and he's got some cool things that helps other campus pastors, online campus pastors, be more effective in their stuff. So I brought Jay on. We're going to talk about that stuff, but we're also going to talk about some tips that he suggests involving email and social media stuff that will help you grow your online campus. So without any further ado, let's get into the conversation right now with Jay Cranda. All right. Well, with me right now is Jay Cranda. Jay, how are you?
I'm doing good. I've had one of those crazy days I think everybody in ministry understands. So I'm glad to be here. I'm excited to talk through everything, but I'm drinking some water. I had a donut. I think that will help for the conversation.
Yeah, donuts always give you that little sugar high and push and all that kind of stuff.
Like Jim Gaffigan says, who doesn't like donuts?
Yeah.
So, you know.
I love donuts. I'll eat them any day of the week and all the time. So, hey, Jay, well, for anybody who does not know you, and that, again, as we just talked about, it's hard to believe that somebody wouldn't know you that's listening to this podcast, but anybody who doesn't know you, can you briefly describe what you do?
Yeah. Yeah. What I have cornered is the market of church online. So anybody who has experienced doing church online, meaning streaming their services and so forth, thinking a little bit more strategically beyond that. That's what I do at my church. I'm at Saddleback Church in Lake Forest. Pastor Rick Warren is the pastor, and we stream our services. But what we do is we think a little bit more strategically beyond just streaming content. We offer classes online. We do small groups, so you can do it online or in home. And we actually allow people from afar engage and be part of our community, meaning somebody 500 miles away can host a group, watch the service, have a community experience. And we think very strategically about that. So that's kind of what we do. And also I do the Social Media Church podcast with Neil Smith. And so I just like to keep my life busy and never see my kids. So,
yeah, man.
Just kidding. Just kidding.
No, but I will say you do keep yourself busy because you don't just only host the Social Media Church podcast, which is a great podcast, but you do a few other things. You're involved with the TV app church stuff. Explain a little bit about that.
Yeah. So Niels and I started about a year ago. We wanted to make it real easy for churches to get on Apple TV, Amazon Fire, and Roku. And part of it was our experience in ministry that, you know, Saddleback, we've had an app on Roku and Amazon Fire for a while now. It did cost us a lot, and so we wanted to see, you know, how can we like make it more affordable so you can get on. If your church wanted to get on Apple TV, we have an option for no startup, just $75 a month. You can get up on Apple TV, and our templates are really cool. And so we integrate with Vimeo and a couple other people. We do live streaming too, but yeah, tvapp.church. That's been fun doing, like a startup mentality of like, what does it mean to do? And we've had a lot of growth in the last 2 months, and we're in the midst of hiring somebody to help us do that day to day, because none of us wants to leave ministry full time.
Yeah, right.
And so, but yeah, it's been rolling.
Yeah, I'm actually still trying to get budget approval for this because I really want to do this. And I just saw that you guys just integrated Google Analytics into it. Is that correct?
Yeah. So you can get full data, analytic data for Amazon Fire, Roku, and Apple TV. So it's not just, actually in my context, I was telling somebody yesterday, a church that I was talking to, like, I don't even get data for my own Amazon Fire TV app. And so I'm like, I have a company now that you could do it. And it's really cool because you get to see, you know, like I tell people all the time. Like Roku, we have 1,200 people at our church every week watches just on Roku. And it's like, what's cool about that isn't just the number. What's amazing about that is that you're thinking about families watching together in couples. Like that is just like churches should be eating that up. Like, you know, how can we increase that? And the other thing is the secret thing about Roku is, or TV apps is, the retention rate is a lot. You don't have bounce rates of like, you know, a large percent. On a Roku, 80% of the people who start it finish it.
Really?
So because it's like it's on a TV, it's a closed environment.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just it's more of a committed person. So like it's just crazy. So if you have 300 people who watch, you're gonna get 250 every week finishing it, just because the likelihood, like it's just people there. People don't click around. It isn't like a website. So that's like where like it's just a cool thing.
Yeah, dude. Actually, that's good. I'm gonna write that stat down because as I try to get budget approval for this,
dude.
Because we're always looking for ways to expand, you know, our church online presence, and I'm looking for always new ideas. And when I first heard you guys talk about the Apple TV, like I always wanted, I agree, the Roku is great. I think Apple TV brings a different element to it, and the fact that guys have brought that to it is fantastic.
Yeah, and what I would say, people, download Social Media Church. We have a podcast. It's kind of like a beta one that we mess around with. Mountain Lake Church is another cool one. Download those apps, and you can see, you know, there's some cool things. These are not cheap apps. These are things that we have, like, really thought about, you know, and so yeah, check that out. Thanks for bringing that up.
Oh, no problem, man. I always love to pump your stuff, and I'll pump you up one more time because you're actually sending out more stuff. You've been doing more videos lately yourself, right? What is that all about?
Yeah, I've been doing a couple things I'm going to be interviewing you here soon, where we're doing how to do church online and how different churches leverage it, because every church is a little different.
Yeah.
And so, not one size fits all for sure. It's multiple ways. And our big thing is aligning it with your church's vision. So if your church does groups, think about how can you do it online. If your church doesn't do groups, you don't have to. You know, just think about leveraging it so that it can really be a way to reach to, you know, I think church online should be more integrated into the overall church strategy, not just as like a thing that's separated. Yeah. And so I've been highlighting that. I launched a new course. And so I've been seeing some cool activity, and it's been fun. I really have a heart for churches doing church online well. And so I've just been simplifying my website a lot of just like, this is what it's about, and focusing and highlighting a lot of people like you and others that are just killing it in that space.
Yeah. No, it's awesome. I love getting your emails and stuff. And they can go to jcranda.com, right, to get that?
Yeah, jcranda.com. Man, okay, we need to talk about what you want to talk about.
I know. But, dude, I always love again, you're such the expert. I want to give people the background on this and so that they can go find it. I'm going to have it all on the show notes. Okay, let's go talk about what I want to talk about now.
Okay.
So what I want to talk about is, again, it's about online church and about social media. And, you know, the two go hand in hand on this. But what I'm always looking for is new ways to leverage the social media. And I picked out three, the big three, I believe. And we can get into Snapchat if we want to later. But Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. What are you doing specifically for Church Online to get people to notice what you're doing at Saddleback?
Yeah. So with Facebook, primarily every church is going to be a little different. We're a multi-site church. And so, and we have a central accounts, and our online community doesn't have we don't have our own, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram handles. We're integrated just into the central branding. That was a strategic decision. It was actually a tough decision when it first happened.
Okay.
I didn't agree with it, and we had a lot of debates around it.
Yeah.
And I eventually kneeled. I was like, okay, I could see why this is valuable. And so I'm part of that. So actually, I don't manage our social media accounts directly, our Facebook and Twitter.
Okay.
That is our central team does. But what they do is, I can speak into what gets posted, and they obviously promote the online stream.
Okay.
They do great at that. But what I do now with my online community directly is that I have a Facebook group that I direct everybody into. And so with Facebook directly, what I do is I direct everybody into it, and then I use it as kind of my patio experience for my community. And then I do my own Facebook Live devotions and different things weekly. I did one this morning where I just Facebook Live just to my Facebook group in that community.
Really?
And yeah. And so I have about 1,700 people in this group.
Wow.
It's just for people who are part of the online campus.
Okay.
And I use it as kind of just a group to facilitate conversation, Monday through Saturday. And people actively are engaging, and I do Facebook Live things. I engage with community. It's a lot of prayer requests, and I highlight. I did a thing where I interviewed one of my online members in the UK, and we posted it into the group. And so I'm trying to have more conversations with online community members in that group. And so I do that heavily. But beyond that, what I'll do is a couple times, I'm doing this more frequently, honestly, now, is I'm starting to do more Facebook boosting a post.
Okay.
And I'll create a separate ad. And that's where that's more outreach focused, where I'll promote like a standalone, thing that I feel like could reach more people. And then I'll use that to drive people to the online experience. But that's where I really, a lot of my Facebook activity specifically for online church is really geared around building that, deeper in the funnel, the core people who are part of my Facebook group. And that's led to more growth, because if I can care really well for the 1,700 people, if I can make those people sharing stuff, it exponentially, the ripple effects have been really beneficial. But I started as an experiment, and now I'm just kind of made that experiment permanent.
So is it almost like a big online life group of sorts? I mean, are you doing a lot of devotional stuff or just information and then some Facebook Live stuff?
I think people doing church online, the problem is, for the most part, you're not seen as the primary pastor, the teaching pastor is, or the teaching pastor is. And so you're kind of like going off them. And so like, I'm not going to be, my pastor is amazing, and I'm not going to come in and be able to give another 20-minute devotion on top of that to top that. But what I've learned is how can I create a place? Like, so specifically when we stream services, we have chat, but then that chat gets killed.
Yeah.
And where can I talk to those people? And that's where, when Facebook groups started to like build up that technology and make it more dynamic, I was like, well, what if I drove them to this group? And then I started to just create, almost make that like a large group, like a large life group, but I make it where it's more like beginner stuff. And what I'm doing at the same time, I'm also subliminally teaching them what they can do in smaller settings. So then that's where I say, hey, you've been part of this group for, a couple of months. Why don't you do what we're doing here, but do it in smaller settings and just host a group with your friends?
Yeah.
And so it's kind of that, but honestly, it's become, I almost treat it a communication platform. I have my email list, I have my website, I have my Facebook group, and those are just my three primary ways that I communicate to my my community.
Okay, well, let's go into your email list a little bit. How often will you communicate to those that you have on your email list?
Yeah, so with my online community, I have a very large list that we use like a very large email client, Blue Hornet. It's like they do larger clients. And so there's a lot of people on that email. I send that once a week. It's usually on Sunday at some point. And for the most part, that email is drive towards my community. It's usually about what we're speaking about. And then I always promote my Facebook Live thing for the week. And I usually take a screenshot of it and I link it to join our group. And then at the bottom of the email, I always highlight, like, I have ClickFunnels pages set up where it's like join a small group or host a group. And that leads to a ClickFunnels page where I talk about how to join or start a group. And then I have a ClickFunnels page link to taking our membership class, and it goes to a page where it explains how to become a member. And so the idea is that email is always the most important content is driven towards the message that weekend and watching it.
Mm-hmm.
The secondary is about the devotion or the thing I'm highlighting in our Facebook group. And then at the bottom of it, which doesn't generate, a ton of clicks every week, but the bottom of it is always my things that are deeper in my funnel, like join or host. And then I have standalone pages that they can click out to where I'm on there talking about it. And so I send that every Sunday. And then I also have my own MailChimp automation stuff that everybody who accepts Christ gets added to a workflow on MailChimp that I have. Every new small group that signs up to host every week, I have a MailChimp automation about that generates. And so those are my secondary things, but my weekly emails I send on Sunday.
That's awesome. Now, why specifically on Sunday? Why not during the middle of the week or something like that? Anything specific about that?
You know, I've messed with it quite a bit, and sometimes I do experiment. I'll shift. I have this window between Saturday to Tuesday that's always in flex, okay. Like, to be honest. Sometimes, if I'm being super strategic, it's on Sunday. Sometimes, to be honest, man, I just forget to send it. There's okay. been a couple times that that's happened where I'm like, crap, I haven't sent it, and it's Monday.
Yeah, right.
But for the most part, the reason why I've been more flex in it is I've learned that my live isn't as important as my playback is on my mm-hmm. on my campus. So we do four live, and then this full service is captured for playback on our page. And I would rather send an email and have them start from the beginning than send an email and then have them thrown into a halfway of a live experience. It's like, to me, it's like throwing them. It's like watching Breaking Bad, but getting thrown into episode 4. And you're like, what's going on? Who's this person? Why is he sick? And why is he a drug dealer? I have no idea. But if you start at the beginning of the story, I'm not advocating to watch the series, but I'm saying if you start from the beginning, you know why, and you more have empathy for this person. It doesn't mean you agree, but you understand. And I've started to send it after our live are done, just because I want them. The other thing is, at the start of our service, I come up and say, hey, thanks for watching online. And so I know if they watch on our on demand, they get to see me first, and they get to know I'm there. Our live is, most people show up to church online late. Yeah. Just like they show up to church late. And so most likely when they join the service, they don't get to see me. So it's more strategically, it allows me to create a better start to end experience and allows them to really know who I am, which leads to me allow to maybe funnel them deeper into my funnel, you know, more effectively.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. This is so encouraging. I love hearing all this stuff because we have a MailChimp account that we just really, like, we were using this other database system, and I just didn't feel like it was capturing a lot of people in our online campus. And so I put them all in the MailChimp, and I can track better. And again, we're much smaller than you, so I don't need to go really high expensive or anything like that. But it's been
great. But it doesn't even cost me that much. Like, oh, really? Honestly, because I'm only doing, I do it for like my secondary list, like salvations and stuff. And my salvation list a year. So I think we have like 600 people on that email list. And that's over like a year and a half. And then new groups is another larger list. And so I think I pay $30 a month for MailChimp. And, you know, I have 1,000, because I think it's up to 2,000 email lists. Mm-hmm. So like, even for starters, you know what I mean? There's some really cool stuff that the thing where it gets crazy expensive is that once you go above that 2,000 email list, their tiers start going. I know a lot of people that jump after they get to like 10,000 emails because it gets a little crazy.
Oh, jeez. Well, I hope I can get to 10,000
emails. I know. It's a good problem.
So, no, this is great. Okay, well, back to the social media a little bit. Are you using Snapchat at all?
I am, but I'm not really using it part of ministry. I have done experiments where, you know, I've made it where like, hey, engage me so that you can know me personally and my family and my kids. I've actually in the last week started to migrate more towards Instagram stories more. I was like a last holdout where I didn't really want to, but I did a thing for Church Online where I sent out an email, my blast email, and I said, follow me on Snapchat. I'm going to snap this next 7 days. What does it mean to be an online pastor?
Okay.
And so I did a whole focus that way. And it worked good. I had a lot of following, but you know, honestly, now Snapchat for me personally has just turned into something that I use with just me and like my four closest friends.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like my wife and I snap each other, and it's like we snap like our kids or different things that we're doing. It honestly, it's like a secondary text message thread to us now.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I use Snapchat, and I use it with my daughters, and you know, and I'll use it with some close friends, but it's stuff again, because it's so privatized, I can send them whatever I want, you know?
I know.
So that's, well, I mean, it's all appropriate stuff, but you know, it's all, but okay. Well, last thing I want to hit on is Instagram stories. What are you doing with Instagram stories then?
Yeah, I honestly, I've been like, I try not to be somebody who's like slow to trying out new things, but like my first experience with Instagram was so, with the stories was I hated that, and I don't necessarily fully love it, is the whole two menus where it's like scroll and then you have the stories. But regardless of whatever I think, the data shows that Instagram is growing and people are using it. So it's like, I just, I'm going to eat crow on it and just get used to it. And so, the other thing is I love like half of like, I have a, my, our youngest right now is five months old, our little girl. And, and so like half the time when she's, you know, cause at 5 months she's just sitting on my lap. And so I like half the time I use Snapchat just because I want to use like the funny filters of the face. Like, you know what I mean? It's so much fun. But Instagram, it needs to become more fun for me. Like the stories needs to be more like silly in a way. But I've, what I use Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, and my personal Facebook is I'm very apparent. What I want people to know is I want them to have an expression of who I am, my personality. And I just express my life, my kids, what I'm doing, what I'm watching, you know, and every channel to me has its own flavor where like, Instagram is a lot about like my kids and my family. Snapchat is that way too. Twitter is more about like, in like real time events when I'm watching stuff. It's a lot of basketball for me since I love basketball. So, but every channel, and then Facebook is a little bit more about my family and fun too. But every channel to me has been defined by who is watching me on those channels. And for the most part, I want to figure out how I want, and I think about this a lot. I was texting with a friend yesterday, actually. He was, he launched a new website and he had something like a photo on there. And I said, I was like, kind of like joking with him. He says, I think profile pics sometimes when you take portrait photos, you know, people look so goofy or just weird. And I think the reason is because it's just not a normal way of meeting somebody. And so I would much rather have an action shot of, and that represents my personality than like a portrait. And so I was telling him like, I've done that. I've shifted that way and it feels so much better. And the same way with like in, with your social content, like I want people to be able to jump on Twitter or Instagram stories. I want them to know that like, you know, that I'm like goofy. I talk quick. I'm always sarcastic. I want them to see that so that, I just want them to really know me. And that's where I'm trying to make it where my online identity is as close to who I am. I'm not trying to project. And so to me, it's, you know, like this morning I did an Instagram story of like, I was taking my son to school and like the bell rang and he was trying to rush. And I tried to like, you know, I carry his backpack to school and I like was like holding his backpack from him, like joking around with him. And that's just me. Like, I want people to feel like they know me. And that's where I think as a pastor of an online campus, I don't get always to have coffee with my community. And I want them to feel like when they're engaging me online, I feel like that they know me, that they really do. And I've learned that they do when they do meet me or they go, you know what, you are who you are. And I've gotten a lot better at that. It's not been immediate, but that's where I'm at now with it.
Dude, I think that's so true on that because, again, I think there's an idea that you need to have a online persona and then it's different from your real life. And there's a disconnect there and we have to be the same person online that we are on offline. And I'm 100% with you. I like to post. I'm a big 90s fan. I travel back in time to the 90s all the time because that was where my glory years. And I post all the time about the 90s. And so people know. They know I like Snickers bars. They know I like vanilla lattes, and they know that I love the 90s. And so it's the same. So
That's the cool. And that's the like Twitter to me for me, like, you know, Twitter is having its own struggles right now, but it's so strong in with me because like I just tweet people basketball things. Like I have a couple friends that like, we just like thrash each other on basketball. But that's the thing. Like, it's just fun for me. And I'm, you know, I'm leveraging current relationships and I'm trying, you know, I think it's more, it's easier for people that are just comfortable with technology and, you know, and that isn't an, you know this, like technology like that, it isn't an age thing. It's just a personality thing. You're either adaptive to new technology or you're not. Yeah. And, you know, I have online small group hosts that are 90 years old and
wow,
like that's, she like, and I hear people that are like 40, like, well, I'm 40 and I can't. I'm like, no, that's, you're just not used to change. You don't like change.
Yeah. Right.
So don't throw it on an age thing. Yeah, I mean, there are plenty of people that are not in that thought process. Some of the sharpest people I know are in their 40s and 50s and using technology. Who do you think are most of these people running these companies, you know? But it's just so like, yeah. So I think just being who you are, and most of that, most for my online stuff, I use my personal expressions on each of these channels. It's just, I'm trying to show them how I live life, who I am, and I want them to feel connected to me, which leads for me to be able to better minister to them because they feel like they know me.
Dude, that's awesome. Well, I can attest to it that you're awesome, man. Everything that you do online is exactly who you are. Again, we've never met in person, but I've seen
you.
We've had many conversations in person, you know. All right. Well, listen, how can people connect with you on Twitter?
J-A-Y Kranda. So it's just J Kranda, J-A-Y-K-R-A-N-D-A. I wish my name wasn't as long as that, but it's not. I got to get JK Twitter. I want to figure out.
That kind of stuff? Can you do that?
I don't know.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
There was a Mashable story a while ago. Like, they did everybody on Twitter that owns the letters.
Oh, really?
Like, just A, B, and they had the story around each. It's actually a cool article.
Oh, jeez, I'm going to have to look that up.
It's interesting. Like, who owns J? Who owns K? You just go to jcranda.com. You can see more. I have some links about everything, and be on the lookout for this guy's interview coming up here. So I got to lock that down.
Dude, that'd be awesome. Well, I'll be excited to be on your stuff. So, well, Jay, as always, I always love having you on. You're my online man. So thank you so much for being on the podcast, dude.
No, thanks, man.
All right. So there you have it. My conversation with Jay Kranda, the one and only Jay Kranda. I love having him on because he's got so much wisdom, and just the simple things that he's doing right now is just above and beyond what I'm doing right now. Again, I mean, I'm working on email and MailChimp, and he's on Blue Hornet, and you know, he's got just a lot more people to play with than I do. But he's very encouraging, and so I would encourage you to check out what Jay is doing, jcranda.com. He's got a ton of different people on there who are doing online church, and they are sharing with you every single week what they're doing. And it's a great way for me to be encouraged without having to talk to Jay all the time. So it's just a great thing that Jay's doing right now to encourage church online people. So I would encourage you to check that out. But I would also encourage you to share with me right now, what is it that you're working on right now as an online church guy, as an online campus pastor? What are you working on right now that you can share with someone else? Hit me up on Twitter at TA Pounder. Or even email me, tom@ymsidekick.com. I would love to hear what you're doing, because maybe what you're doing is not what someone else is doing, and we can all learn from each other. And we've got this great community of online campus guys that really need some encouragement and some community. So I would encourage you, share with me, and I will retweet it. I'll reply back to you, and we can really get the conversation going about how we can encourage online church guys right now. All right, heroes. Well, that wraps it up for another episode of the YM Sidekick Podcast. Thanks so much for joining me. As always, if you enjoyed the podcast, go to iTunes, subscribe to it, rate me and review me, share with me, you know, what you enjoy about the podcast. I would love to hear your input, but also subscribe to it. I've got fresh content coming out every Wednesday for podcasts, but I also got blogs coming out on Mondays and some other things coming out as well. So definitely go to ymsidekick.com to get all the content right there. All right, heroes. Well, I hope you have a great rest of the week. And until next Wednesday, have a great one.